Welcome to the Blind Apex Podcast, where amateur club racers tune in to get faster.
This episode is brought to you by Deechworks Fuel Systems. Visit Deechworks.com to pick up any of your fuel system needs and to fuel your passion. I'm your host, Khan John Turk, and on this episode of the Blind Apex Podcast, we're talking Hyperfest 2024. Specifically, I want to get into how to survive it, because May in Virginia, you never know what you're going to get. I'm praying for sun. We like the sun. It gets hot. There's a lot to do. We're going to go over everything we're going to do and how to survive it. And joining me, the sweet, sweet sounds every morning at a NASA Mid-Atlantic event come from this gentleman. He's dubbed me the kinder, gentler Khan. Some of you don't know my storied past. Maybe we'll get into that. Maybe not. Probably not. Chris Cabetto, welcome to the show.
Thank you, kindler and gentler Khan. We can certainly get into the kindler and gentler Khan thing.
I mean, I was a former employee, I guess, and now, you know, I race in your region, and, you know, maybe I wasn't always as sweet. My sweeter half is still at work while we're recording, so the rumor is my wife tamed me.
That's actually probably true. Always been sweet to me, though, Khan.
I try, but, you know, the tech shed's not always the easiest place to be. Kudos to the guys that are working there now. As a racer, I roll through, I do everything. They're much nicer than I am. Where's the antagonist in the tech shed? I'm Justin, Brent, somebody. I know it will never be Mitchum, but there has to be the antagonist in there, but we'll see.
I'll work on that.
Yeah, work on that for me, Chris. So Hyperfest this year is May 17th to 19th. Virginia International Raceway. So let's talk about some of the activities that are going to go on this year.
I hope you have a long podcast. I mean, you know, there's so much going on. You know, we talk about all the time how, you know, the great thing about Hyperfest is, you know, everything that's going on. There's so much. You know, the rough thing about Hyperfest is there's so much going on. And, you know, it's, the thing's a circus, right, for the most part, but it's based on a regular NASA Mid-Atlantic event with the HPDE and the racing and the, you know, the road racing and the time trial. And so it's pretty much what you would see if you came to a non-Hyperfest event, except we overlay the circus on top of the thing. And then we add some fun stuff, you know, in there as far as the road course stuff. Of course, you know, it's always packed. We always have great racing groups. We have, over the past few years, started doing sort of some specialty groups. So we have coming back, you know, we have Bimmer World does the Battle Royale, right? And so we started out with the Battle Royale, and then we had the Battle Royale Deux, and because it's fancy. And
all BMW people are fancy.
We are fancy. Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, when you're leaking oil as much as we do, you needed something else. But anyway, so then we have this year is the Bimmer World Battle Royale Qual, and that is going to be for the Speccy 30s, for the Speccy 46s, and for the Spec 3s, and that's a special race.
No Spec 9X.
Okay. So if we have any, I mean, the thing is that it's technically not a class yet.
Right.
And so, so those individual will sign up, for ST4. And funny enough, actually, I just got an email from James Clay, because there's a gentleman with the Spec E9X, that's inquiring about the Bimmer World Battle Royale. So I just read it. I was in the middle of the email back to James. So, James, for listening, I'm sorry for the delay on getting back to you. I promise, as soon as I'm done here, I'll finish.
It's my fault,
but it is. Well, you know, it's your fault. So So anyway, we have that. And of course, we've got Hyperfest GT. You know, Hyperfest GT, the one thing about road racing that's always been difficult with the interclass stuff, which I love the interclass racing personally as a driver. I think it's a lot of fun. But when you're talking about trying to introduce road racing to a crowd, you know, when you have five different classes on the track at one time, you know, it tends to be a bit of a challenge to figure out who won what. So, you know, when it's one class on the track, you know, the guy who comes or the driver who comes across the finish line first, that's the winner. That's it. So we are doing Hyperfest GT. It's nice and affordable. Last year was our first inaugural race. We're going to do it again this year. And it was so popular back then, we decided to do it again. We're probably going to create a full series coming. I don't know if we're going to add one this year or not, but I think looking in 2025, we're going to have a full series running around at some of the other NASA events. So we've got that, and we got a bunch of Ginettas coming out. So that's the road race side of it. Mm-hmm. We have those races. And of course we'll have the Thunder and the Lightning races on Saturday and Sunday, but on the, so that's sort of on the full course. The drifting, we have pro drifters coming out. We have, of course, Vaughn Gittin Jr. will be back. You know, he's a huge friend of Hyperfest. And he brought with him Ford Performance and the Mustangs. And so we'll have 100 Mustangs doing HPDEs, and we'll have 100 oh, wow. Mustangs doing hyperdrives on Sunday. So, it's going to be a lot of Ford there all the time. Monster has really seen they've been great, man. I mean, they've seen the benefit in the event. And, you know, we've been around this our 23rd year. So they really upped their participation this year. Club Hyperfest, you'll continue to see, and which I know you go to every year.
Every year.
Club Hyperfest.
Me, my glow sticks. You're always waiting for it. You know, my parachute pants, you know, I'm just out there.
That's exactly
dancing
right.
Away, right?
That's right. You're blinking. You're blinking sunglasses.
Right.
Yeah. It's it's great because they really help out with the stage and mm-hmm. with the VIP booths and things up that, like that. But one of the cool things they're bringing out, they're actually the two things that are really cool. Well, let me back up. So we have the drifting. Of course, we have all the ride along. So you can go for a ride. You can go for a ride in a Super Trofeo Lamborghini. You can go for a ride in a GTS 2 McLaren. Mm-hmm. You can, I mean, Kaizen and Renegade are giving some really, really killer rides. Renegade's bringing out, I think it's a GT4, Audi R8. I mean, it's just a really, really serious hardware people can take a ride in this year. And I'm pretty sure most of that stuff sold out, except maybe for the supercar rides and the like Super Trofeo and the McLaren. But, you know, of course, we have drifting rides. You know, I think we sold 200 or 400 drifting rides wow. last year. I don't remember now. But it's one of those numbers. I know it's a factor of two. But then off-road, you know, a lot of off-road. You know, Chaos is out there doing the adrenaline rides again. The rally, NASA Rally Sport is there. We have guys that are giving rides in Rage Buggies, which are just some really, really
they look rowdy,
angry little side-by-sides. Rowdy is a perfect word. They look and then we have Sarek Auto Works, and they'll be putting people in. You know, you get to go in comfort because it's Land Rovers or Range Rovers, and so you're going to be able to take the discos up on the rocks and through the mud and that sort of thing. They give a really, really fun ride. It's amazing how much fun you can have at like 3 miles an hour, you know, going over some of this stuff. But that's all. I mean, all the ride alongs are there. The idea is that you come out, you play. We're just about sold out in like RV camping.
There's a wait list. I checked this morning.
Yeah, there's a wait list. We're hopefully going to be, we're finding some spaces here and there around the property. And so some people, there are a lot of people that I think that are going to be happy coming off of the wait list soon. Hopefully they'll know in the next, actually by the time this thing airs, they'll probably know. But a cool thing is we have two things going on the skid pad, I think, that are just really cool. Because we have Vaughn Gittin Jr. drifting out there with the Fords and stuff. But Monster is bringing out Keith Sayers, and Keith Sayers is motocross. So it's the Monster Energy motocross guys, and they're bringing out they have two ramps, and so they'll be launching themselves in the middle of skid pad, you know, launch themselves and doing tricks and freestyle and that sort of thing. So that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Then we have, if you've ever seen these things, they're electric unicycles. Have you ever seen an electric unicycle?
Is it the one you stand on, or does it have a seat also?
No, you stand on it. So it's not the one that's like a skateboard with a go-kart.
Right. It's the wheel that's in between your legs that goes forward, backward.
Right.
You lean forward.
Yep, backward. You got okay. it. Yep. So, yeah. So anyway, they're going to race those things. We're going to have some demo races out in the skid pad with those things. And then on Friday and on Saturday night, like around 5:30 or so, we'll be doing the monster finale where we're going to have basically everybody on the track at the same time. We have motocross guys jumping stuff, drifters, Vaughn getting those guys going under the motocross guys as they jump over them. So it's going to be great, man. I mean, I've been doing this for 23 years, and there are relatively few things that I get excited about. And this is cool. The skid pad is going to be rocking. So that's one of the cool things that's happening.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the website right now. There's a kid zone. So that'll be helpful if you bring your littles and they need a little break from, you know, loud engines and stuff.
Yep.
I saw on the check-in page, we're doing RC drifting, right? Is that still back?
Yeah. In the gallery building, there'll be RC cars. So they'll be drifting as well as just kind of grip driving, but that'll be indoors. That's fun for anybody who likes an RC car. But of course, kids like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I still think that stuff fun. So that'll be in the gallery.
I have a crawler over here and a drag car over here. So I'm a gigantic child, but I, you know, whatever. yeah. So it also has karting listed. Is the kart track running this year?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, you're talking about surviving Hyperfest. If the karting is something that you want to do, you know, I would suggest that you get over there early because, just had the conversation with Patrick Egan. He's a really, really good guy that runs VIR karts. And, they, in the past couple of years, they've had 2 hour waits, you know, to get on there and run karts.
Well, I believe it. I believe it.
It's a great kart track. I don't know if you've been on that thing, but it is a really, really spectacular karting track. Those karts are good. Patrick keeps them up very well. And it's great, man. You have off camber uphill and downhill and it's blind stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah. I haven't been on the new track. I've been on the old track, so that'll be interesting. Yeah. The other thing I saw was the arcade. These are things I need to go find, you know, if I get a break in between racing. So
that's the pavilion. So that's that building that's right beside, it's kind of like a big sort of pole barnish mm-hmm. place called the pavilion. It's right beside the skid pad.
Okay.
It's where PRS guitars will be. Mm-hmm. And they'll do the shred contest. They'll do the air guitar contest. I mean, it's the goofiest thing to me, and I love this idea that PRS came up with, but they have two, you know, very nice guitars. I mean, these guitars typically retail in the, you know, $750 to $900 range. Mm-hmm. And if you're a decent air guitarist, you can go up there and win yourself an actual guitar. And if you can actually play a real guitar, you can go up there and shred as loud and as much as you want. And if you win another guitar.
Yeah.
So, you know, guitarists hate to have more guitars. You know, it's like car people, right? Car people never want to have another car.
Everybody I know, with a guitar has a wall of them. So
exactly.
We have garage exactly. full of stuff. They have walls full of guitars. Yeah.
And I have three drum kits.
You have, oh yeah. So you play the drums. So yeah. I'm sure you have more than one.
Poorly, but yeah.
Well,
you know. Yeah. But anyway, so in that building, that's where the arcade is going to be. So we have, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the company. Oh my gosh. Player One? No. Oh, I feel so bad. My brain is fried. anyway, yes, the RK will be up there. And then also we have the Drift King championships, qualifiers, basically racers and tuners is run by a gentleman by the name of Patrick Thomas, who's out of New York. And Patrick was the guy who actually put on the car show in the very first Hyperfest ever at Summit Point. And he and I have been friends ever since. And he's got cars in his blood, and he will be having that simulator there where you can actually do a real drift sim. He just had this at New York Auto Show recently. So I know you're a huge drifter.
Right.
So I think you ought to come over there and try that out. I'm looking forward to actually trying it out.
Okay. I'm front wheel drive for life. So not really, but I drift my truck around, but in the snow, but,
you know, when we first started Hyperfest, there were guys in the Civics that were trying to drift.
No, there was one that was actually drifting, but it was a pro front wheel drive car, drag car. And he line locked the rear and he had like 800 horsepower dragging the front through the carousel at Summit Point. I'm well aware of that car.
Mass drag.
Your arcade is done by High Score is the company.
High Score. There
it is. Yeah. Sorry. I had to look that up.
Yep.
I saved the, I don't know if it's the last, but I'm going to talk about the best right now. And I'm so upset that my car is broken and I have to spend more time on my car than I can. Because it's 2 years in a row that I won't be participating, but the Koni Jet Hot Performance Coatings Koni Downhill Time Attack, or the Downhill Attack, I guess it's called. So you bring your power wheels with no motor, no battery, and you roll race down the hill at VIR, down the roller coaster. Man.
Dude, it's the biggest redneck soapbox derby on the planet.
I love it.
It's got to wear a helmet. Yep.
I recommend if you have motorcycle gear, put that on. I like skin. I like my skin on myself, right? Long sleeves safety at a minimum. First. Gloves for sure. Helmet absolutely is required.
Well, yeah, that's the rules.
Yeah, the rules.
But yeah, we're going to have a ton of people.
Yeah, and it's
free. I mean, Jet Hot's new. It is free.
Yeah.
That's right. You have to sign up on the website. Mm-hmm. And then when you get there, you have to go to the info booth and you have to check in and get your bib and get your stickers and all the rest of that sort of thing. And then at the appropriate time, which is typically everybody gathers up there around 6:30 or so in the evening, we'll let you out. So new rules for this year, no drinking on the racetrack itself.
Okay.
Any kind of beverages need to be left on the outside of the fence, on the spectator side of the fence.
Okay.
And it's not suggested that you show up that way, but I'm just saying that the rules are you can't have anything to drink.
Okay.
In the area, but yeah, the Power Wheels, Koni has been a great partner for a long time, and of course Jet Hot. When the opportunity to be the partner,
right.
To be the co-partner for the event, it took, I think, about 30 seconds for them to say, absolutely, we want to be there. So Jet Hot is there. And, you know, as normal, we always have some fun stuff. And Jet Hot has got some pretty, let's just say it's going to be interesting for the drivers.
Okay. There's always a surprise.
It is a coding. It is a coding company. So just saying.
Okay. So let me, because this is a safety issue. I want to go over the dress code. Closed toed shoes, jeans, or similar long pants. Wear jeans, people. Don't come out in your whatever. I don't know. Long sleeve shirts required. Helmet is Dot or Snell 2005 or newer, and it's required gloves. Awesome. That's great. Knee pads, elbow pads, wrist pads, neck braces, leathers, etc. are allowed and strongly recommended. That's in the rules. So the rules are really light.
Yep.
basically remove your motor, remove your batteries. The wheels must be stock. No added ballast. Man, how do you define that? Riders must sign the waiver. Starts are from a standstill. So it's exciting. I did it a couple years ago. I had aero on the car. I should have done some other things to the car, but you know, why had Johnny at Nine Lives cut off winglets? So I turned the dirt buggy power wheel into an Indy car.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, they say what aero starts at 35 miles an hour, right?
And you get there.
You get there. You get there. And on turn 17, man, you're moving. You're moving. We had Tommy Milner was there last year. Mm-hmm. And if for those who don't know Tommy, Tommy has won Le Mans twice, and he is one of the factory drivers for Corvette. And so for whatever reason, last year, I think it was something that had to do with the Corvettes were like in between getting ready. I don't remember now. But anyway, he called me. He's like, hey, man, I love the event. I'm coming to the event. I don't want anything. I just want it. Whatever you need me to do, you know. So he's just super nice guy. So we had him giving rides. We had him racing the HFGT. And then we had him as a factory driver for Koni with their factory prepared Power Wheels downhill challenge car, downhill attack. So he got in there and he made it to the finals. And apparently he was racing for the lead with three other individuals, and whoever was on the inside lost it. That was plastic wheels, you know, yes, 35 miles an hour, and slid out and created a melee. And he had a tumble, and he I remember talking to him afterward. I'm like, so you're gonna come back and race? He goes, man, that's the hardest hit I've ever taken in racing. But I'll be back. He's a good guy.
Yeah, it's not to be trifled with. It's a ton of fun, but don't just take your safety seriously. And yes, plastic wheels at 35 miles an hour, it's like ice skating, basically. If you don't pitch it in just right, you're not gonna make it. You're gonna find the grass. So and when you hit the grass, point it straight. That's my recommendation.
I think it was James Clay. I think it was talking about it because he did it too. Mm-hmm. Andy Lally has done it. You know, Andy Lally races IMSA and NASCAR. James Clay has been in there, I think, once or twice. I think James came in second. And he was like, man, that thing is just wobbly and it's a handful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When James Clay is telling you that a little tiny, you know, Barbie Jeep is a handful, you know that there's something to this race.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's definitely a handful for sure. Let's see. Do we talk about the burnout contest? I don't think
that comes after. So yeah, everything's sort of Saturday night. So you'll do the Koni downhill attack by Jet Hot Coatings. And then once you're done with there, you basically just make your way over to the burnout pit. And that's, we were actually just going through some of the cars, mm-hmm, and some of the vehicles that want to do the burnout. And there are 14 entries right now. So if anybody wants to do the burnout, they need to jump on there right now because we have enough that we are going to have to pick and choose. So not everybody's going to get a chance, most likely. Having said that, we also have people who will get picked and for whatever reason may not show up. So, you know, there's always some chance of getting in there. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be the burnout contest, the Mootool burnout contest. We have some really cool production stuff taking place. The guy who will be the MC is going to be Jared Dionda. So if anybody's a drift fan, Formula D, that's the guy you're listening to is Jared Dionda.
Yeah, so
it'll be fun, man. The burnout contest is great.
So you have
14 there's some cool stuff coming out. I don't want to be a spoiler, but
no, last year you made me edit stuff. We're not doing that again.
I made you edit stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You You talked about
Being a scholar. Now I'm going to keep my tongue. I'm not going to say anything.
Don't say anything. For the burnout contest, helmets are required. Snell 2010 or newer. All vehicles must have four wheels. Come on now. Somebody's got to bring a trike out or something. No bald or corded or badly worn tires allowed. Racing slicks are allowed. And the car must pass a basic technical safety inspection. So, Don't bring your BMW that leaks like the Exxon Valdez and bump it up against the wall and catch the whole place on fire. Okay. That's the rule.
Funny enough, one of the cars actually, there's a description. We ask, why should we accept you into the burnout contest? Uh-huh. And, there is a gentleman with a Bavarian born vehicle who said, and one that was turbocharged, because we all know that
they do that,
you know,
well.
Turbocharged BMWs are, you know, they're perfectly reliable, right, all the time, always, and never leak oil or any blow up. so yeah. And his comment was, I'll be the one guy that just doesn't brake in the middle of the thing. And I'm going, wait a minute, what? I looked up what kind of car it was, and I'm like, I don't know about that. I own five BMWs, or have.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah. No. So you're selecting people. So you need to apply to get into the burnout contest, and then, correct, be selected.
I mean, if anybody out there has been thinking about it, certainly, you know, jump in there, because we don't have the final list yet. Mm-hmm. But I would highly suggest jumping in there and registering. And, you know, filling the form out.
Okay. Awesome. That's always fun. I watch from a very long distance, mostly because tire smoke gives me a headache. That's why I can never actually be a drifter. So, plus I hate paying for tires as is. I couldn't imagine destroying them on purpose, but, you know, whatever. What else do we have?
It's a different sport.
Oh, it's,
I'm sorry.
It is a different sport. It's like maximum car control, right? So most of us, we've talked about this on the podcast in the past. You know, we start off with autocross. The traditional path is like autocross, HPDE, time trial, road race. That's generally the path, right? But there's racers who are like, you know what? I'm getting a little bored with racing. And they go to drifting. And you're like, why did you go to drifting? And their answer is, it's car control. It's like the maximum of car control. But we started with car control. We started in autocross in an unprepped, dirty parking lot with nothing but cones to hit to figure out how to drive. And then they start racing eventually. And then they get bored and they're going to go start drifting now. So it's definitely different. It's interesting.
It's fun. I mean, you know, it is about car control, and it's funny. There are those in the community that will sort of poo-poo drifting. I mean, in the road race community, and yeah, they're brothers in speed, you know, just like anything else. And their car control is really, really good. Now, I've ridden with a couple of drifters in a road race scenario, and they tend to jerk the wheel a little bit. You know, they tend to be a little bit harsher, you know, in terms of that initial input. But, man, I tell you what, hanging a tail end out is no big deal. If you need to get into a four-wheel drift and you feel the tail end start to come around, a lot of road racers will come off the gas and they get a little bit afraid because they're not comfortable with that thing going into a four-wheel drift, which in order to do that, you've got to get the tail to move a little bit. Got to get a little bit of that rotation, and a lot of people get a little bit anxious when that happens. Whereas the drifters are, it's no big deal. I mean, they barely even feel that little bit of drift. But now, having said that, drifting is slower, you know. So if you're looking to get around the track in the shortest amount of period of time, drifting isn't it's not going to do that. Now, some of the drifters will tell you, oh, no, we're very fast. No, you're not. No, you're not fast. Not at all. But they are fast entering, and they have to have a lot of grip. a lot of people think it's just like, hey, let's jack the tire pressures up and put old snow tires and squirt water on them. Mm-hmm. And that's not it. I mean, they actually, there's a ton of engineering that goes into these things. You talked to Von Gittin Jr., and I've talked to him quite a bit about this, and they're serious. I mean, these cars are very serious, and they are looking for sideways grip. I don't understand exactly what they are doing with it specifically. He's described some of it, but it is different, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's like a control melt of the rear tire with, in the engineering, a lot of the engineering is in the cooling systems and the steering up front. So they're trying to get these massive angles because they can melt the rubber down, but they have to get the front tires to counter steer at an even more massive angle. There's a lot that goes into it. I get it. Who was the HF GT driver last year? Kelsey something?
Oh no, Chelsea De Nova.
Chelsea De Nova, yeah.
Chelsea.
Yeah, I
yeah, no, he did, and he did well in the race.
Yeah, I qualified I think two positions behind him. Excuse me. In my Honda Challenge car, and I was totally afraid I was going to knock that drone that was flying around behind him. I thought my wing was going to take it out. So it was so low. It was easily eye level at some time. So I was like, I'm not slowing down for this thing. So
nope.
Hopefully you get it. No, out dude, of the way.
It is what it is, man. The drone pilots are, you know, they fly at their own risk. And, those kinds of angles are just, it's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal perspective.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
For what these first person, you know, these FPV drones can do.
Yeah. They're doing some crazy stuff for sure. Sometimes they get a little distracting, but, it's another way I have to refine my discipline behind the wheel of a race car. 'Cause they're like big mosquitoes basically, and they move fast, right? So just got to learn to ignore them. All right,
that's right.
So let's talk about I'm not racing, well that's not true, but if I'm not gonna race, I'm gonna come visit and participate, looking to sign up, looking to be there. How many days is the event as far as spectating goes?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. So people be ready. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Virginia can be obnoxiously hot, especially southern part of Virginia that time of year. So one recommendation for me, especially if you're camping, bring lots and lots of water.
Well, no question about it. And we have a lot of campers that are coming out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there will, you know, obviously if, you know, people camp and they bring their own food and that sort of thing. You know, we're doing the best we can to accommodate as far as food. You know, we have 12 food trucks at this point. Okay. You know, plus some snack stuff like, you know, pretzels, ice cream, Kona ice, that sort of thing. And then we have, of course, the tavern is open. You know, the restaurant that is there all the time at VIR, and then the pagoda, which is the concessions stand. So, you know, all those places you have the ability to get something to eat. And, but you know, obviously you're welcome to, you know, you can't have any open fires, like, on the ground kind of thing, open fires. You certainly can have a little grill, that sort of thing is okay. But yeah, man, it's bring water. Yeah. I agree with you.
So I believe there are people who do Hyperfest as a pilgrimage. Because I think, well, one, I troll the Facebook websites. If you need more information, just type in Hyperfest in the Facebook search engine. It'll take you to the group. There's lots and lots of information. But man, there are folks who are like, I have to get this camping area. I have to get this group. My group must be there. I mean, they it's religious for them now. Those guys
are, the veterans.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
It's the new people. you need sunscreen, you need bug spray. You're going to need caffeine every single morning. I don't know where you're going to find it. I know Monster's there. If you have a specific flavor, I don't know if they're bringing anything but the green stuff, you know, maybe you can enlighten us on that, but, you know, couple years I came.
I don't know what their specific sampling is going to be, but they always come out with new stuff that they want to introduce, you know, and then of course they always have the classic green, mm-hmm. but there are some new flavors. You know, Jack, my son, you know, still works for Monster, and so, you know, occasionally we'll, you know, have some, you know, cans that just like marketing cans, they've got extras, you know, we'll get a couple of those just to taste, but yeah, it's going to be great. They'll have that stuff out there. And I think we're going to have a new partner that's actually hooked up with Monster called The Beast. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard energy drink, you know, like, and then there's a tea called Nasty Tea. And that will be there as well. So you'll be able to be both mellow and energetic all at the same time.
Yeah. So leave that for the afternoon. I recommend caffeine in the morning, water until lunch, and then start dabbling, because it's 3 days. You got to pace yourself. You just can't go hard from breakfast until you pass out 3 days in a row. I don't recommend it anyway. So,
exactly. Yeah. And there have been some rookies that, you know, have seen Friday morning and not seen Friday evening.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've seen them go hard. They survive Friday. They're passed out in the grass next to their tent, not in their tent. Things like that go on. And then Saturday morning, that tent is getting packed up by a miserable person and they're leaving early. So, One thing you don't want to do is leave Hyperfest early, because there's so much going on. So you want to make sure that you're able to, you know, be mellow, sustain yourself, you know, take naps if you need to, if you can. I mean, I don't know how people do it, because the drifters are going all day, and then you have the lightning group spinning engines to 9,000 RPMs, and now you got motorcycle guys coming with the drifters, and man, it's going to be... it'll just be loud, but if you're tired enough, you'll take a nap, and you probably should time yourself for that. But,
well, and you know, it's interesting, because while it has been warm, certainly in the past, mm-hmm. Last year was actually really nice. And it didn't really get all that hot the entire weekend. It was really nice. The past 2 years have been actually pretty decent. I don't know. It's weird thing happening with the, you know, weather patterns, but it seems like, you know, the spring is moving further into summer, and summer is moving further into fall, and fall is moving further into winter. And, you know, it just seems like it's sort of shifting, but we've had the past couple of years, we've actually had, you know, really nice weather, given how chilly it's been in these few mornings. We're only 3 weeks away. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's probably going to be nice. Certainly, fingers are crossed.
No, always cross your fingers.
But it goes on, regardless of the weather, it goes on. And, you know, it's rain or shine. And we have some great, great people that come out, because they don't care if they get wet. It doesn't make any difference. And the thing is that it's funny, because we'll have a forecast in terms of surviving, you know, you're saying surviving Hyperfest, right? We got to get there first.
Yep.
And so there are people who will look at the forecast, and of course, you know, they'll show a forecast that says 30% chance of rain, 30% mm-hmm. chance of rain, and they'll show a rain cloud and some drops. But number one, that particular track, you could have it raining on the Dan River, and you could have no rain at all whatsoever on the facility itself. And it's almost like it's this invisible shield that river is. And it's amazing how that happens regularly at VIR. I've been renting that track for 25 years. Can't believe how many times it's happened that way. And also, people, when they look at it, they don't look at the hourly.
Right.
At that time of the year, if you're going to have rain, it's going to happen, you know, at maybe midnight to 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. and then it's over. So for a lot, you know, it's the rest of the day is just fine, but people get discouraged a lot of times when they see that, and it's too bad because they miss a really good show. I can't tell you how many people that I see on the boards, and not on the boards, but on Facebook, right, and Instagram afterwards, and they're like, oh man, it looked like I should have not listened to the forecast. And it happens every time that we have an iffy forecast.
So let me help educate some people. Always be prepared for any of the situations. Bring your slickers, leave them in the trunk of the car unless they're needed, right? Come have a good time, because the weatherman, they get their job wrong 50% of the time. And also, when it says 30% chance of rain, it's not chance of rain. It's going to rain in approximately 30% of the area, on whatever that area is, defined by whatever your app or news outlet says. So if you're using an app, it's probably going to go by the city or the zip code. And so 30% of that zip code will see some amount of precipitation in that time frame, wherever it is, right? Whether it's the day or the afternoon, whatever they say it is, it's not a 30 out of 100% chance. So it's a big area. And you're right. At VIR, you can see it on the back end and it'd be crystal clear on the front end, and vice versa. You can see it in turn one and nowhere else.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know what? If it rains 5 drops, then they're right.
Yeah, I guess. 5 drops somewhere. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
So to me, it's never made sense to even worry about that stuff. We racers don't. We just come prepared, right? We're going to pack our wet weather stuff and we're going to come out. We're going to have a good time. And you guys get to have more of a good time because, well, hopefully, knock on wood, we're not breaking as racers. And so we get to do our thing, concentrate on data, improve ourselves, race our friends, you know, and then you guys get to watch. You get to watch the racing, the drifting, the everything, you know, that's going on. Participate in the off-road stuff. It's going to be a good time. So to me, if you're planning on going to Hyperfest, just pack it and be ready to go for anything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Pack a poncho, you know, an extra pair of socks.
Right.
You know, hat, you're good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Last year was great weather, but I looked like a freaking lobster when I was done. And I was putting on sunscreen all the time, but maybe I'm just sensitive. If you're sensitive like me, pack extra sunscreen. So.
Yeah. The backs of my calves, you know, I ride around on the four wheeler and a pair of shorts, and it's, for whatever reason, just always the backs of my calves that are just fried for some reason.
Because you probably don't reach down there, you know, and put the suntan lotion or the sunscreen on all the way down there. You skip your legs. You're like,
okay. It's funny because I wear a hat. I wear a hat, so I don't have to worry about this too much, you know, wearing a hat, but. I never put sunscreen on. I should. I know my mom would kick my butt if I was out there without sunscreen, yep. But I just always forget about it. I'm so concentrated on putting the party on for everybody else, I forget to put sunscreen on. I will have a pretty red nose by the time we're done.
For sure. That's my ears and my nose usually the worst part of it all. But anyway, we digress. So Chris,
Well, I was going to say, Con, you know, you come at it from a different perspective in terms of, you know, surviving Hyperfest.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious. Like, so you have water, mm-hmm. You got a poncho, and but like, what else in terms of timing? You know, well, see, you're always racing. You're doing something on the main track. I think. I was thinking about this when you were talking about this the other day, and I think surviving Hyperfest is, you're right. You want to pace yourself. You're going to have a couple adult type beverages. Definitely want to not overdo it. Just, you know, keep a nice steady thing going. If you want to do that, hydrate, get yourself some energy from Monster, get something to eat. But I think that enjoying it and surviving, I guess, maybe two different things. But I do think that, in, you know, what I thought about when you were saying survival is, or survive it, is make sure that you try to get the stuff that you want to do early. You know, we have everything up there. It's all on the website. If you want to go for a drift ride or off-road rally ride, whatever it is, you know, do sign up for that stuff early, mm-hmm. because it all fills up. All of it fills up. And so that's not really survival, I guess, but it's more of like a tip. You know, it's like, what, you know, tips and tricks.
I was joking and about I can give survival. A couple of- it's because you can, I've seen the aftermath of people who go too hard. It really is what's the best way we're going to enjoy Hyperfest, right? Especially as a spectator. And you're right, hitting stuff you want to see early is probably key, because I don't know what your numbers are for pre-sales, but day of sales, things can get a little crazy. We changed ticketing systems, right? Is that occurred?
It did. Yep. And so as I told everybody that was standing in like ridiculous lines last year, is that we will have a different ticketing system next year. And I lived up to what I said. And we ended up going with Eventbrite for the ticketing system, but it wasn't just the ticketing system. It was the method of getting people, mm-hmm. you know, checked in as they came in. And, you know, I unfortunately had taken some advice that I shouldn't have, which was, oh no, just have everybody get out of their cars and go to the box office and give their name and type it in and give them a wristband. Well, that turned into a challenge, mm-hmm. let's shall we say. So this time, as long everybody that's coming, they stay in their cars, and we are going to scan their barcode, or excuse me, their QR code when they get there. And they should have to spend no more than 2 minutes with the scanning person, and they get released and go straight into the track to wherever they are allowed to go. Now, the one thing that I will say is that anybody who wants to camp, anybody that's camping, they need to buy all their camping, what is left there now, and because we are mailing out all of the camping stickers. So you do have to have a sticker, a physical sticker, in order to get to that specific spot on the property. But that's why we're going to mail it out. If you don't mail it, that means when you show up there, you have to stop at the box office and you have to take extra time and wait in line. Now, hopefully the lines are going to be short, but it is really, 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 we've sold out of almost all the camping. So we will be sending out all of those stickers in about 10 days. And everybody should have those, and they should have them on their vehicles. So when they show up, we go boop, boop. We scan their tickets, scan the camping pass, and off they go into the facility. And we're really, really hoping to not have the same thing that we did last year.
Yeah. I know that was the single one complaint most people had, especially in the forums, or not the forums, but the Facebook group afterwards. And I had all the confidence in the world you guys were going to address it, because you were probably as dissatisfied as the people in the line. So when they can't come in, they can't see the show, the spectacle that is Hyperfest, the racing, the drifting, all that. And you're there to help bring them in. And if they're not able to get in, you're disappointed. So I don't think people realize that you're there to try to enable them. You want them to come in. You don't want them out at the gate. You want them in the property, viewing everything and enjoying everything that you worked hard to put on. So
I hate standing in line, man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I hate lines, period. And so as I was really, and of course, like you say, the main complaint, you know, was out there, and we put a statement out that day saying, hey, look, you know, this is going to get better. And really, it's kudos to the people that come out to Hyperfest, because we are a community. And people say that, oh, we're a community, we're a family, that sort of thing. But man, I'll tell you, everybody was cool. I mean, I wouldn't have been as cool to me as those people were, really, after standing in line. And people are just like, hey, man, it is what it is. It's cool. And I was really, really impressed with the people that were there. And then the other thing that they do a really phenomenal job of in general is they keep the place nice. We always say, and we always say, just like your mom said, if you're going to go in some place, you're going to borrow something, you know, always give it back nicer than what you found it, you know, or you leave the place nicer than what you found it. And if you do that, it allows us to continue to come back and VIR with such a pristine property. And they're so beautiful. And they really do take pride in it. When people, as long as people can come in, and the Hyperfest community can really keep it in their head that, hey, tread lightly, leave it nicer than what you found it, and be kind to everybody there. I know that that sounds maybe a little corny, but I really believe in that. I mean, I truly believe in that. And I think a lot of the people that come out, you know, believe in that. So we have a great group of people. So if anybody was there last year, then they're listening to this right now. I just want to say thank you very much for, you know, allowing us to handle what we handled. And it should be much better this year. I'm not for lack of trying. I can tell you that.
So I'm going to add a little more corn onto this corniness. You spoke about the family atmosphere that we're going to have, that we always have at the NASA Mid-Atlantic events, and it becomes huge at Hyperfest. Pack a little extra because you never know what your neighbor is going to forget if you're a camper. And even if you're just there for the day, or you're going to, you know, be there all day and leave and then try to come back the next day, you know, leave a little extra in your trunk because you never know. Somebody might forget something or might need something. Look out for each other because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So I'm sure that happens. I watched it happen. Two little kids were running around in the woods and scraped their knee. Mom and dad didn't have a first aid kit, but they scraped their knee close to the beach, and one of the racers had their first aid kit out like immediately. So we just got to keep looking out for each other because it's just one big family, and you're going to meet people that you may be friends with for a long, long time. So it's a great event. So I appreciate you putting that on for us for all these years, because it's gone forever. It feels like forever now.
23 years, man. This is the 23rd year of Hyperfest.
Yep. Yeah. That's a long time, Chris. Long time to be putting on.
Man. Yes, it is. Yeah, survival of Hyperfest is it's completely different from the individuals that are coming out, for the individuals that are putting it on. You know, Laura, I mean, the whole team is just working really. I mean, it always drives me crazy when you hear, you know, a leader of something. So the team's working tirelessly. But, man, I'm telling you, I'd love to say tireless. No, we are all tired as all heck putting this thing on, you know, but we all like throwing a party, and that's ultimately what this comes down to. And the people throwing the party are never the ones that have fun at the party for the most part, not until the very end of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope everybody else really enjoys the party, and I'll enjoy it on Sunday evening.
We have to get you like a special shirt next time, so everybody knows it's you, and then you can put it on somebody else and run away. You can be like, hey, here, wear this shirt. It's really cool. And then you can run away. So
sounds like a good plan to me.
Bait and switch them, Chris. Bait and switch them. anything else we need to cover for Hyperfest this year?
No, man. You know, the only thing I would say is, you know, is part of the family is the partners that come out, and all the sponsors, partners, the vendors, everybody. You know, it's, they all dig this stuff. I mean, everybody. It's not just like they're coming out because it's a cold, hard business kind of decision. It's a good business decision, but everybody I talk to, they all love cars. You know, they just love it. They're part, they dig it. They love the whole concept of it. And so to me, I don't want it to be too, you know, it's not like I'm trying to create a commercial or anything, but you know, I do say that the one reason we can put this thing on is because we do get a lot of support from all of those guys. And so if you are looking for anything that they might have, go look at them because they're good.
I see a ton of
them. They understand. They get it.
I've got Coney, Motul, Race Reeds, Toyo Tires, Ride Tech, Bilstein, Maxxis, Kaizen, PRS Guitars, STS, Exidy, the U.S. Army, Hobbytown, Renegade, Blipshift, OG, Flagger, High Score, Proline Trailers, Amped, XS Power, I mean, Haltech. Haltech's the premier. Warn Winches, Monster Energy, RTR, Mustangs Unleashed, VP. I mean, there's a ton of guys, or a ton of partners for this event. And,
yep.
They'll be out there.
And I'll tell you, one thing I have to say is, you know, VP Fuels, there are two things that I have to sort of say something because, and I mean, all the partners are awesome. Like Warn, everybody thinks they're just on Jeeps, but you know, those winches are great for yanking your drift car up onto a trailer or your Honda Challenge car, you know, road race. Or a Honda Challenge car. Actually, you need like three Warn winches. I mean, those things are great. The Coney. Mm-hmm. Coney's been around for a really long time. And I'm very excited. And it's always been quality. I mean, you and I are the same age, right? So if you had Coney's, dude, you were cool.
Back in the day, Coney yellows, controls, you were good to go. That was the setup.
Right. That was the setup. And it's still high quality stuff, but you know, they finally are coming out with a set with coilovers. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because in Europe, the coilover thing isn't quite as big of a deal, you know, as what it is over here. And so finally, I think it's GTX. We have the GTX series and I actually have a Tesla out there on these things running basically as a pace car through the weekend. But those coilovers with Coney, I think, are going to do really well because it's a true quality product. There's a lot of coilover stuff out there that I haven't been too impressed with, honestly. But VP Fuels, you know, VP Racing Fuels, I didn't realize that they have all the different stuff they have, like literally, you know, engine oils and coolants, lubricants, car care stuff. I mean, it's really, really broad. And I know that they want to get that out there. It's all good stuff. You know, it's just all good stuff. So anyway, Motul, you know, I mean, these guys, the brake fluid is phenomenal. I use the brake fluid. I can't say actually there's some
don't do it
competition stuff that's happening in Speccy 30 with the car that's very close to me where one may have been able to look at the inner parts of an engine that would contact oil a lot. Mm-hmm. That was mainly Motul that was actually in very, very nice shape. One took a look at that engine stuff. So that was a really, really bad, bad attempt at being sly.
Right. I'm not editing it, by the way.
Anyway, you're not editing that out?
Okay, I will if you want me to, but.
I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I think it's great. I think, like I said, there's some cool stuff out, but I'm particularly excited about the GTX Coney stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just great for that company to have.
So I think it was 2 years ago, Haltech had their big tent set up. Adam, my track spouse in Princess the Civic, had just had a Haltech installed, tuned and everything. He went out for his first session, was having problems. And we traced it down and it had to be a setting in the Haltech. And so he drove the car over to the tent and one of their guys immediately jumped on it, hooked up a computer and was like, this is the wrong setting. Click. And he hasn't had a problem since. So
it's awesome.
Not just show people that are going to be there. The people that do this stuff are there, you know, they really love what they're doing, and that's why they're actually at Hyperfest. So I appreciate the quality of the folks that are out there supporting the group, supporting the racers, supporting everybody that attends, and then also enjoying themselves. So it's great.
Well, you know, I'm fortunate that I get a chance to talk to, you know, I know that I like, it's not just the company. I know the people. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. And I've developed friendships. I mean, like true friendships with, you know, my contact over at some of these, you know, some of these partners. And, you know, Haltech was, they've been great. Ride Tech, you know, they've got some really cool stuff. You know, they do a lot of suspension stuff for like the Resto mod. Mm-hmm. And they also do, you know, airbag, but they also do regular coilover suspension. And, you know, there's the stuff is just really good. I mean, they'll take a, you know, mid 70s Trans Am that from the factory handled okay, but they'll completely transform how the car handles, and make it into something that feels very modern. And so it's cool, you know, you can start to resurrect these cars that, you know, or the American cars that were just not handling very well, and make them handle and brake like something modern. And that's cool. I mean, I still remember Smokey and the Bandit, man. So I still have a Jones for a Bandit car. And I can tell you that, you know, and talking to the guy at Ride Tech, you were talking about how they're not just show car people, you know, the people that come out to Hyperfest. He's going to be on the track. They're bringing a killer Fox body Mustang, and it's going to be just bad to the bone. They've got an independent rear end of that thing, and he'll be out there on the track. And he's excited about coming to the event. He's like, "Hey, Chris, I can't wait to get on the track. I can't wait to get on the track. What groups can I run?" And I'm like, "Come on, man, this is where we're gonna put you." But they are car people.
That's great. I can't wait to see all the stuff that's going to happen this year. I'll cruise through the vendor area on my scooter and then run back to the paddock for safety. That's just me. My wife says I'm a extrovert, and I swear I'm an introvert. So we'll see who wins this year at Hyperfest. But
well, you know, the one thing about, you brought that up actually with all the pit bikes and all that sort of thing. The one thing that VIR has made a rule on is that nothing homemade. So, you know, there were some very interesting build types of things that people were bringing out to Hyperfest. And I particularly love the creativity that goes into that.
And they're not going to let the S10 with the little single hitter from Harbor Freight come in.
So, okay. You know, it has to be, you know, the VIR will take a look at it, but basically there's some things out there that are pretty sketchily put together. And then if there's something that's going to go, if you're going to want to run after dark at all, mm-hmm. you need to have a light on the front and a light. You need a headlight and a tail light. You know, you have to be up, and that's not, you know, strapping, you know, it's not basically taping your cell phone, your iPhone to the front of the thing. You have to have some sort of a light that is, that's gaining its power from the vehicle itself. So that was those are some concessions that we had to make in order to have them there.
So what you're saying is I have to outrun security in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom on my scooter. Okay. That's fair.
Well, in the paddock itself, it's a little different story, right. You know, for the NASA guys, it's a little different story, but out in Hyperfest land, mm-hmm. aside from the North paddock, you know, it's a little bit different. And the main reason why we even allow all these vehicles for people to use these, it's not so that they can go 1,000 miles an hour, you know, and get from point A to point B fast. It's because it's 1,300 acres of automotive amusement park. And we want people to be able to not kill themselves getting around. And so if they can drive one, you know, a golf cart or a four wheeler or a mini bike, then that's great. As long as everybody's responsible and they keep it under 10 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour ish. Everybody's good.
Still bring your walking shoes.
Start to be irresponsible. I'm sorry.
Bring your walking shoes. Don't come with those crazy shoes. Nothing uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, nothing uncomfortable. That's correct. You know, bring your Rockports, you know, your Reeboks, your old man.
Uh-oh. The Corvette crew is mad because he didn't mention their New Balance, but they park next to the Method anyway, so they're fine.
And Reebok's going to get mad at me for calling an old people show. I'll be in trouble now.
Or do they sponsor you now, Chris? So
no, okay, well, they don't actually. I have to say Reebok does not sponsor us
yet. You might have burned that bridge. I'm sorry.
I was going to say Adidas might be really happy right now.
All right. Well, I think that might be a wrap, Chris, unless you have anything else we need to talk about.
Nope. That's good, man. That's good. I get it back to doing signage maps.
The signage maps. You got to mail out camping stickers too.
That's not me. That's somebody else's job, but I just have to put, I got to create the maps and where we're going to put the signs to try to keep people and just tell people where they're going. Yeah. And if anybody ever wants to volunteer for Hyperfest, definitely sign up for that. We have 140 people that Laura is placing in certain spots at certain times. And luckily she has a lot of help, but, that's a challenging position. No question about it, but that's what it takes to put this thing on. But we like for people to have fun.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, Chris.
Hey, thank you, Kindler and Gentler Con.
Until next time, keep working on yourself, keep working on the car, and let's get faster.